Are you ready to elevate your coaching?
Whether you're just starting out or an experienced coach, get ready to up-level, enhance your mindset and amplify your skills with The Coaching Catalyst.
Let the transformation begin.
And welcome to another episode of The Coaching Catalyst podcast with me, Rebecca Daniel, and our co-host, Sarah Bramall. Today, we're going to be talking to you about how you can evolve your coaching practice, how you can go beyond the GROW model. We'll be sharing some benefits and limitations of coaching models, and also what goes on in the supervision room and in our own coaching practice too. So in initial coach training, we have all been introduced to different coaching models to help us to guide the coaching process and facilitate our client growth and development. So we're going to start off with the one that was most familiar to Sarah and I, which is the GROW model. And Sarah's going to share with us a bit about what is the GROW model, and we'll go on from there.
So the model that you may have come across first, probably the oldest, most well-established, is probably the GROW model, developed by Sir John Whitmore, one of the most popular coaching models. And, you know, you will know already it stands for goal, reality, options, and then will or way forwards. And many other coaching models do very, very similar things to this, because what we're looking for in a model is a way in which to help our clients to clarify what their goals are. And in the case of GROW, then explore what's going on currently for them, helping them then to think about what the options are for action, and then committing to specific steps to achieve their objectives. And it's, you know, absolutely right and appropriate that when we're learning coaching, when we're starting out, that we have a structure, that we have a model to help us to structure the conversation. So GROW's not the only coaching model available. There are many other options available, and you may choose different options according to the needs and the context in which you are working. So, Rebecca, what are the alternatives to GROW? What are some other models that we might look at or experiment with?
So this is a common question that comes up in supervision, actually. Do we still have to stick within the GROW model? What are our options, our alternatives? And we'll speak to you a bit more about our beliefs around models and whether we should stick to them or not stick to them. But in supervision, one of the other coaches the other day mentioned that they use the OSCAR model. And so the OSCAR model is a solution-focused approach. And it's one of the approaches that I do like, actually, you know, a solution-focused coaching approach. And it stands for outcome, scaling, know-how, affirming, action, and review. And what I want to emphasize around this model is that it looks at the desired outcomes. But what I love the most about this is that it looks at our scaling progress. And, you know, in our previous episode, we spoke about our competence consciousness. And this is really, really important, because when we are growing, when we're evolving, we do it in stages, in steps. So this model will look at that scaling process as well to see, you know, what have you done each step of the way, and what can we kind of take and hold on to continue to work towards meeting our goals. And then there's another model, which is the CLEAR model. And the CLEAR model is an acronym that stands for contracting and listening, exploring, action, and reviewing. And what I love about this model is that we establish clear agreements, which we do in all of the other models as well. But there is an emphasis here on active listening so that we can understand perspectives and we can explore the options again, which we do in the other models as well. And we can review that progress and the outcomes. But these are just a few models of many other models that are out there that you can use. And we will talk a bit more about, you know, our approach to using these or not using these. But Sarah will talk to you a bit more now about the benefits of models.
So that's given you an idea, and definitely would encourage you after this episode to go away and do a bit more sort of Googling or a bit more research, a bit more reading around different models to, you know, to stretch yourself to try different things. Personally, the Cigar model is one that I really like, and also Claire Pedrick's Stoker's model is another one that I really like. So do go and do your own research. But talking of models then, what are the benefits? Like, why would we use them? some of these models, in fact, probably all of these models, help remind us of the fundamentals of the coaching conversation. So, example, with the CLEAR model, it reminds us at the beginning, C stands for contracting. It reminds us of the importance of contracting effectively with our client at the beginning of a session. And clearly that's valuable. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. They also provide a sense of clarity and of structure. So again, one of the challenges that coaches come to often in supervision is around how the session was contracted and also about what happens when the session seems to go off track. Because one of the challenges when the session goes off track is that sometimes we can slip out of a coaching approach, the boundaries become blurred, and the structure helps us to make sure that our conversation remains within the parameters of coaching. So there are some benefits here. All of these models will focus on the outcome or the goal. And again, it helps us as coach to keep the conversation focused on what's the goal, what's the outcome, what's the result going to be of this conversation, as well as all of the models, I think, having some reference, some check-in to how a client is going to measure their progress, how they're going to stay on track, how they're going to remain accountable. So the models absolutely have their benefit. And as Rebecca said last time, we were talking about the competency ladder. And certainly when we're new coaches, it's really useful to have a structure, to have a framework with which to work, to help us to help our clients to stay on track, to help us to stay within the parameters of coaching. Yet, as we become more experienced, we start to notice sometimes these models, or sometimes any model, doesn't work. We start to notice, and again, this conversation comes up in supervision, that perhaps being too rigid in introducing a model and sticking to that can take away from our presence with our clients. So, Rebecca, let me pass to you to sort of expand a bit more on that. What are some of the limitations around using coaching models for you?
Thanks, Sarah. So, one of the most important parts for me when coaching is that we are fully present. And sometimes when we are so focused on which model we're going to use and which model we're going to stick to, that we become quite rigid in our coaching practice, in our coaching approach. So for me, models can limit our ability as a coach to be adaptable, to kind of go with the flow and be in the moment with our client. And each client's situation, each client's obstacles are different. So we need to be able to be fluid in our approach. Now, Sarah and I both come from a background in education where we know that one size doesn't fit all. And sometimes with a coaching model, it may not be suitable for all clients in their contexts, their various contexts, their various environments, their various needs, their preferences, their circumstances. So it's really important, if we are going to be an inclusive coach, a diverse coach, and that we're meeting the needs of our clients, that we are also diverse in our approach as well. And that means the flexibility in our coaching models too. And also sometimes when we are using coaching models, we're adamant that we're going to use a particular model. And sometimes we may have a client who needs more time to think, more time to talk. And we are so focused on, well, I'm going to use this model, I'm going to stick to this model, that we don't allow enough time for them to just be. And so I love that when we are in our coaching sessions, that we can just be adaptable. We can read the room, we can read the client, and we may just wish to park a model for that moment in time, just to allow our clients just the opportunity to be. So there are many, many different limitations to coaching models, but these are just some of the ones for me that come up the most. So enabling our client to just be present, being adaptable, being fluid in our approach, and also just knowing that we need to meet our clients where they're at. And at times, a coaching model may or may not be suitable for that moment in time. So we've spoken about the benefits, we've spoken about what the GROW model is, we've spoken about alternatives. Sarah's mentioned Stoker's or Cigar. I've gone through Oscar or Clear. And as Sarah has said at the beginning, please do take a moment to research and have a look at which models would work best for you or which models you want to try and test. So do we need to use a model at all, Sarah? What would you say?
It's a really great question, isn't it? Do we need to use a model at all? I do think that particularly when we're new to coaching, having a model to follow really helps us to keep our structure and keep the conversation on track. I also think it's great to experiment using different models in different contexts because they do different things. And it can help stretch us as a coach to, you know, to obviously try different things. But what I do think is really important is, as you've said, Rebecca, is to not be rigid in any way, because actually our clients, first and foremost, and what they need is the most important thing. So this conversation is bringing to mind a coaching conversation that I had last week, actually, in which the client presented with a goal and simultaneously presented with two fairly major beliefs that she recognized were getting in her way. Now, had I, in the framework of the time that we had together, had I continued to move her through the model, I wouldn't have done her justice, because actually what she needed in that moment was, yes, to articulate the goal and explore the outcomes and what was important to her about that. But really importantly, before she could move forward in any other way, was to really look at those beliefs, look at how they were impacting on her, and start to unpack and unravel that, rather than kind of moving through a model in order to get to an action or a way forward at the end of the conversation. That was what was most important at that time. So I think we have to really have the confidence as coaches to trust our intuition to be fully present with the client. We can have all of the tools, we can have the models, and certainly they have their purposes, but the client focused approach is the most important thing, in my opinion. What about for you?
I do love to have various approaches up my sleeve, or if we're going to use a metaphor, like tools in my toolkit. But what I do love the most is allowing the client to decide on what approach may work best for them. Now, this might be very tricky if it's a new client and someone who's new to coaching who might not know how coaching works or might not know various approaches, various tools that they can use. And so this is an invitation where you can invite them to explore that with you, but also ask whether it worked well for them, what they need more of, what they need less of. So do we need to use a model at all? It's a great starting point. It definitely will help to boost your confidence as well when you're stepping into coaching, if it's the first time or if you're meeting a client for the first time. But once you build that relationship, build that rapport, get to know your client more, have conversations with your client, partner with your client as to what works best for them, what they need more and less of. And this is definitely something that comes up quite a lot in supervision, Sarah, where we talk about what model works best, which one's the most effective. And you're right, for different contexts, for different scenarios, for different individuals, each model has its benefits, each model has its limitations. So I would just go with the flow, experiment, test, have contracting, really clear contracting with your clients, and also just bring it up in supervision and tap into the knowledge of the other coaches of what's worked best for them with teams or individuals or in a group coaching scenario. So we're coming to the end of this conversation today, Sarah.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. I've got one more thing to throw in here, actually. There's a lot of chat out there in the coaching world at the moment about AI and about the benefits and the challenges of AI for us as coaches. And what I was thinking when you were just talking then was that if we wanted to be coached with a robotic approach, a structured approach that didn't allow any flexibility, AI would be perfect for that. If we want to be coached by a human who meets us where we're at and responds to us in the moment, that's where the flexibility is so, so important.
Absolutely love that. Because the AI can't pick up on the emotions. It can't pick up on the eye contact, the little wiggles or the little uncomfortable gestures that we do. So you are spot on there. If we wanted to be coached by a robot, we'd be coached by an AI. Well, so what another interesting conversation that we've had today, Sarah. And normally at the end of our podcast, you always challenge me to think about two words that you would use to sum up our takeaways from today. So mine are flexibility and presence. What are yours?
Well, great words, Rebecca. And I don't think that I have anything different actually today. So I'm going to copycat your words today. I think flexibility and presence are great words. But those of you listening, you may have different words coming to mind. So we'd love to hear what your takeaways are from today's conversation. Or indeed, if you have any questions for us, we'd love to hear that as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed it, do make sure you come and you join us for next episode, number 6, which is about the life of a coach, the highs, the lows, and the messy middle. Look forward to being with you next time. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've heard anything that's prompted a question, inspired you, or challenged you, head to the podcast page on our website. That's www.thecoachingcatalysts.com/podcast.
We also have a free guide to help you to elevate your coaching practice. So hop onto our mailing list to receive your copy. And if you've enjoyed this conversation today, please follow, rate, and review the podcast.